From scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Pone.
This week, we are going to be talking about a new report from Training Journal. It's called the TJ L&D Influence Report 2026. And it's, I have to say, it's a very small sample size, right? It's less than 30 people. However, Nigel, it caught your eye, didn't it? There's some interesting stuff in here. So that caveat is important, right? It is a small sample size, but it's quite an interesting report.
It is.
Nigel, what caught your eye in this?
What struck me was that of the under 30 people who responded, I'm sure that they're all practicing L&D people. They're not big senior leaders. They're not executives. They're practicing L&D people. And that is really helpful, I think. You get a sense of what's going on in the real world. And I often find it difficult to connect with the real world. I do live in an environment where it's possibly not exactly what's going on down on the ground. I get big ideas in my head, and it's things like this that bring me slightly with a bump back to earth. But I think that the themes that the whole report is based around are really helpful, that they're things that I really value. So talking about adaptation, talking about evidence into action, talking about blocking evidence to action, talking about enabling performance, not just learning, and a little bit about what L&D teams need to do next. And just focusing a little bit on their business priorities for 26. So the biggest priority is talent, skills, or retention, not AI, note. The second biggest is revenue growth. So I don't know what that means, but of their company or of them as sellers of learning, probably as sellers of learning. The third is cost reduction. The next is innovation, transformational change. And that is second to bottom. And bottom is customer service and customer experience. So in some ways, if I was putting all that together, I would have one, the bottom two right up there with the top, along with talent, skills, or retention. I wouldn't bother about anything else, because if you can get those sorted out, everything else falls into place. So that's a kind of wake-up call, that innovation, transformational experiences, transformational change, customer service really impacted less than 10%. 4% one, 9% the other. So that is a realism wash, rather than something to jump up and down about and celebrate. So it's, from that point of view, I think it's worth reading. The other thing they've done is they've peopled the report with these 60 ideas, 60 questions and imperatives. So they go in blocks of 10 all the way through the report. And to give you one or two examples, rethinking how we work and why we do what we do. Equipping the workforce with the skills needed to effectively use AI. It's come back in. Creating an accessible learning landscape. Refining and focusing our offer. All of these are actually good ideas, good questions, and good imperatives. I don't quite know where they come from. They come from TJ rather than from the survey, I think, unless they've gathered together more information than we realize. And what that means is that there's a whole locus around the report. There's a whole framework of ideas and suggestions set against the reality, which is slightly different from all of those. But nevertheless, it's a kind of agenda. And I think having an agenda is a really good thing to do. So it's challenging. If I were an L&D person, I'd probably find this more helpful than reading the Deloitte Talent Report, for example, which is all about thousands of people, big picture, global. This is all about the practical stuff of being an L&D person in this country at this time. But it is a small sample, as you say, so I'm not going to stand up and say this proves everything. Although with a sample that size, I've read a number of PhD theses which claim all sorts of things based on samples this size. So it's not an incredibly invalid sample because there are less than 30 people. It's an indicator. And then you can say we need to test this out with a bigger group of people, which is always in the PhD thesis. This could be tested with more people to validate our claims. And you could say the same at the end of this. But it is a interesting and I think valid and challenging series of conclusions. What about you, Martin?
Yeah, I think I'm with you in terms of the sample size is something that we do have to, that is an important caveat. But I do think you're right. I think it's a lot of these insights are gathered across Training Journal's 60th year and its conference. And all those ideas, those 60 ideas that are throughout the report are all based on conversations that have been had with, you know, with yes. practitioners. So it's all a complete, I agree with that. I think if you were to, now, some of this report talks about the TJ Readiness Enablers Index, what basically makes L&D ready to, how ready is it and what are the things that enable it to be driving sort of adaptation and innovation and the things it's trying to achieve. And I thought it was quite interesting because the biggest bottleneck to making things happen is access to decision makers about strategy, budget and priorities. And I think that's, and by far, that is by far the biggest bottleneck, right? And yeah. I don't want to over extrapolate, but I think this is a fairly common thing that the sector still is challenged by. It's the idea that why is it that learning teams are having that problem, right? If learning is a driver of adaptation and innovation and performance, then why is it that they can't get access to the people, the more senior people, to have these conversations with so they can get things done? Why is that?
Yeah.
Because for me, it's like there's something that's, and that's been the problem for years, right? And I think that needs to be talked about more. So there's these indicators, and this is another indicator of that in this research. But why is that? People talk about wanting to be strategic. It feels to me like there's some kind of gulf between where L&D is operating and where it wants to be operating, and a massive problem in all of that, or challenge, is that it's not being taken seriously, as it's not seen as a kind of delivery mechanism or lever for that innovation, change, adaptation. And I think this report speaks to that a bit.
It does. If we go back to that original, those original points about what the priorities are, it seems to shout out from there. If your focus is on revenue and innovation comes last, then I don't know. I just think that's not an interesting conversation starter. If I'm the CEO or senior executive and I want something happening in my organization, I need more than that from those people. There's an in the 60 ideas, the 41 to 60 bit, the prompt is, what's the single most courageous decision L&D should take and act on in 2026? I think that's a really good reflective question, because the message that comes through from the survey is that we don't take courageous decisions. We just do what's necessary, and we pretty much focus on the same old. And that's part of the issue. I think we're in an environment where we have to take very big, bold, courageous decisions. And organizations are doing that. They're betting not everything, but they're betting a lot on this decision being right, or this market coming through, or this market collapsing. And I think L&D should have a framework for that kind of change to get at that, what they think and what the organization needs, and the gap between them is their agenda for the next year. I'd love to see that. And it's not a difficult thing to do, but if you're looking inwardly rather than outwardly, then that's the natural process, i.e. it's not helpful. Look outwardly, could be very useful. Do a bit of field work, find out what the organization wants and needs, and set out to achieve a bit of that anyway in 2026. But it's a provocative report. I would say it's a provocative report. And wrapped in there within that small survey are some good ideas, clear thinking, and for me, an agenda for action. Martin, what about you?
Yeah, I'd echo that. And my final thought would be, I think this idea of being bold, I would say I would love to see that. I think it's really important. You've got to be very brave and take some big risks, actually. I think bigger ones than are enlisted in the report. I like some of those ideas, but I think actually, I think it's some far more radical approach and thinking, really, to really try and shift people's idea of what learning and performance is and what its role is. And maybe that's going to take a far bigger leap, actually, which is fine. Everything's changing. Things are up for grabs. I think being bold and brave is exactly what's required right now. Yeah, I agree with that. Okay.
Fantastic. Good place to stop. Martin, always a pleasure. Thank you for that. Really good.
Thanks, Nigel.
No problem.
From scratch.